Please turn in your copy of God's Word to the book of Luke, chapter 11. You may recall where we left off last Lord's Day afternoon with Christ instructing his disciples in the Lord's Prayer, teaching his disciples who came to him after he had left the house of Martha how to pray, teaching them to pray together as a congregation. And hear how Christ continues this teaching, beginning in Luke chapter 11, verses 5 through 13. And he said to them, "Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, 'Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him.' And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me, the door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. And I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him?" That is God's Word. Let us pray. Our Father, as we come to Your Word, we come with the posture of humility, asking for You to speak, for Your servant listens. Speak to us by Your Holy Spirit. Build us up in the faith. Bless us for Jesus' sake, in whose name we pray. Amen. Well, as we come to this passage, Jesus is in the midst of teaching his disciples about prayer, that means of grace that God has given to us that we are to wield before the Lord, approaching the throne of grace in the name of Christ Jesus. But what is our attitude to be as we come to the Lord in prayer? Here we see Jesus teaching his disciples to come before the Lord with boldness. He encourages them to be bold in their requests to God. And we see this by example, by exhortation, and by explanation. And that will serve as our outline for the text this evening as we turn first to Christ's example in verses 5 through 8. One New Testament commentator has pointed out that this is boldness primarily in view. Sometimes we think of it in terms of persistence. And yet Christ is emphasizing here boldness in prayer. And he does this, as Christ often teaches, with a parable. And this parable paints the picture of a completely absurd situation unfolding. A situation that you don't want to end up in. And you don't really want to be involved with if somebody else ends up in it. It's absolutely absurd. He paints the picture of sitting in bed, happily resting at midnight. And somebody knocks on the door, and then you start to think, who was it? Was there someone coming? There was somebody. There was somebody. I had a friend who said he would be here today, and I completely forgot. Time got away from me, and he said he was going to be here on this journey, and I have not gotten ready. I was out doing my job and forgot to warn anybody that my friend was coming. And here he is knocking on the door at midnight. And what's more, the friend, when the door is open, says, "Ah, you're awake still. Excellent. Where's the food? I am famished. I have been journeying for a long time." It's a journey that has taken the entire day and brought him to your house well after polite visiting hours. And there is a strong cultural expectation that you will provide abundant hospitality to the extent of your means for this friend. The whole village would expect this of you. Everyone knows this is how you treat a traveler, except you have completely forgotten, and now if you can't provide, you'll have some egg on your face. So what do? This friend is waiting in your kitchen, and you say, "I'll be right back," and you rush across the street. You know which of your neighbors is not on vacation, and you start knocking at the door of your neighbor's house again at midnight. And you get the kind of a reception that you might expect if you knock on someone's door at midnight. Perhaps you've gotten that call from work at midnight, and you've woken up. Maybe you're one of those people who's chipper and cheery and joyous no matter what time you wake up, but this man is not. He is a bit grouchy. For just reason. These aren't huge houses we're talking about. This isn't the sort of thing where you knock on the door and the insulation is going to deaden the sound and you check your Ring camera and see who it is and decide, all right, it's safe, I'll go check the door. No, this is a one, maybe two-room house. And the door is bolted with a bar across it. And you're banging on the door and the whole family is laying on their mat. And it's midnight. And you hear him talking to you through the door. You hear his inner monologue becoming his outer monologue. "Do not bother me. The door is now shut. Can't you take a hint? It's time to sleep. And what's more, my kids have just fallen asleep. It's been a long day. Can't you just leave me alone? You're going to wake them up. And if I go and open the door and take the bar off the door, that's going to certainly wake them up. And I have to get up in the morning anyway and work, and I could use some peace and quiet. This is the first chance I've had to sleep." And all the while, you're at the door knocking. And you're hearing all of this. "I simply can't get up and give you anything. It's not in my power to do this. It's beyond me." But what is that friend of yours doing while he's grumbling through the door? He's gotten up. Jesus tells us in verse 8 that he's getting up and getting whatever his friend needs. And so this picture is an absurd and comical situation where there's a man risking embarrassment, knocking on the door of his friend's house, risking further embarrassment, and the man inside is grumbling and bumping around in the dark and muttering and going to the cabinet and getting out some bread, and he opens the door with the last grumbling bit of his voice trailing off, and he's holding the loaves that you need. Why, if all of those grumbles that he was grumbling were true, did he get out of bed? Why did he answer the door? Why did he go and get those loaves for you that you desperately needed? Jesus says, even if he won't do that because he's your friend, because of your impudence, he will rise and give you whatever he needs. And that same commentator points out that this is an odd word choice, impudence, that Jesus employs here. It doesn't appear elsewhere in the New Testament. We don't hear about anyone else being impudent in this way. It's a word widely used throughout the Greco-Roman world, however. And so the Greek lexicons have lots and lots of ways to define this word. You might think of it in terms of a shamelessness, an impertinence, an impudence, an ignoring of convention, or in our particular context, a shameless disturbance. Jesus is saying, because you shamelessly disturbed your friend, he will give you whatever you need. So Jesus is describing a person who finds himself, probably through his own fault, in an absurd situation. His traveling friend has arrived. He can't feed him. He's in over his head. There's just nothing for it but to throw all caution to the wind and risk further embarrassment. And simply by the fact that he made that decision, that he said, "I will throw caution to the wind and I will be shameless to disturb my friend at night Because of that boldness, he'll get what he needs. You might ask, is God really telling us to be that bold as we approach him? We see this answered with Christ's exhortation in verse 9, and the simple answer that Jesus gives us is, yes, be that bold in prayer. Approach the Lord with boldness. Jesus says, ask and it will be given to you. Bring your needs to the Lord. And simply as Jesus tells us to do that, we realize how often we stop short of asking the Lord for what we need. We are content at times to grumble about the situation we've landed ourselves in. We're content to say, ugh, my friend has arrived at midnight and I have nothing for it. Yikes. But Christ says, ask. Ask and it will be given to you. Asking is difficult to do. If you've ever been in a classroom setting and the teacher has said, does anyone have any questions? And you think to yourself, kind of yes, but I don't want to raise my hand. You know the difficulty that accompanies simply asking. Asking admits that you don't know the answer. Asking admits that you have vulnerability. Asking admits that we cannot provide for ourselves. Asking places us at the mercy of someone else. But Christ says, ask, because we're asking our gracious and loving Father. In the name of our faithful Savior, through the life-giving Holy Spirit, ask and it will be given to you. But Jesus continues, seek and you will find. And you might wonder, what goes into seeking? It's pretty straightforward. There are many overtones to seeking. It might have been something that you'd lost, but that's not the term that Jesus is using here. He's saying desire. Strive, aim at what is needed, seek diligently, pursue. The man in this parable boldly pursued what he needed, and he found it. Jesus promises us, seek, and you will find. And he tells us to knock, and it will be opened to you. Have you ever had that moment of hesitation standing in front of a door? Maybe it's an early day on the job and you're not quite sure how a person will respond if you knock on the office door and you have that moment of hesitation as you stand outside wondering, should I really knock? I could leave right now and nobody would know I was here. Or maybe you've had that experience of standing outside someone's house at the agreed upon time and you're going to see if you can go out on that date and you're worried. How's this going to go? I could just leave now and say I had a flat tire. There are a lot of ways out of this, but as soon as I knock, my hat is over the fence. As soon as I knock, it's known that I'm here. As soon as I knock, I am committed. Jesus says, knock. Knock, and it will be opened to you. And the way Jesus phrases these three commands to ask and to seek and to knock do not communicate a one-time experience for us. There is a way that Jesus could have said that in Greek to say, ask once, seek once, knock once. That's not what he says. You could translate this, be asking, be seeking, be knocking. This is our ordinary daily experience as believers, that we are a people constantly coming to the Father, constantly invited to come with boldness at the most inconvenient hours to ask and seek and knock at our Father's door, because he promises blessing to us in doing that. You might recall Isaiah chapter 62 in verse 7, the prophet Isaiah speaking, the Lord speaking through Isaiah, calls upon his people to give him no rest until he establishes Jerusalem and makes it a praise in the earth. God invites us to give him no rest as we petition him. That would be a very bold statement to make if Scripture did not command it. That would be perhaps impertinent if we decided of our own invention, I am going to pester God. And yet what God says is, give me no rest. Come to me constantly. Continually bring your needs before me. So that it would be foolish of us to say to God, no, I know the polite hours, and I won't ask right now. No, I know what I need to do already. I don't need your help. I'm ashamed of the situation I found myself in, and I already know the way out. I won't bring this to you. God commands us to inquire ceaselessly before his presence until he brings all of his promises to fulfillment. Do we consider that that's the character of our gracious and loving God? That the God who created all things out of his sheer good pleasure should invite us graciously to come to him always with our needs. And so that raises the question, do you trust that God means what he says? Do you believe what Jesus says when he says it to you? Louisa Stead put it very well back in the late 1800s. 'Tis so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to know, thus saith the Lord. Simply, brothers and sisters, thus saith the Lord. Ask, seek, knock. Christ invites you to this. Take Jesus at his word. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. But Jesus also gives us a further explanation because he says that everyone who asks receives. And the one who seeks finds, and to the one who knocks it will be opened. Do we consider that Jesus is serious here? That even the inclination to ask for God's grace is a gift from God, so that everyone who comes to the Lord asking for God's blessing, asking for the gift of the Holy Spirit, receives that. We receive God himself as he promises when he calls us to ask. The sad reality is that only those will ask who God already knows. And yet, that is a great encouragement as well. For if God is working in your heart to drive you to ask of the Lord for his Holy Spirit, trust the Lord. Go to him with your need, and you will be saved. Cry out to the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. And if you know this reality, know that nothing can shake your confidence in Christ. For our own Savior has promised that everyone who asks receives. And then Jesus gives us another absurd image. He highlights the absurdity of unbelief. If a son asks a father for a fish, what father would give him a serpent? And the situation is just so strange. You're at the dinner table, and you've been working out in your labors all day, and maybe you're the dad, and you sit down, and your son says, Dad, could I have some fish? What would you do? Or maybe you're the son in this situation. You've been out working all day, and you sit down at the dinner table, and you say, Dad, pass the fish. Who would give a serpent? Nobody would do that. It's absurd. We hear these things in Scripture that we've heard from perhaps early years of life, and we rush by the absurdity of it. But Christ is saying, would that make any sense? Would it make any sense for a hungry child to ask for an egg and the father to say, here's a scorpion, have fun with that? No. Such a father would either be entirely incompetent or entirely malicious, or perhaps both. And Jesus says, God is not like that. I'm guessing no father here has ever thrown a hungry child a venomous snake or a stinging monster insect when they ask for food, because nobody does that. And so if nobody, even among sinful creatures like us, would be so insane as to give bad and harmful things to children who ask with a need, why would we suspect that God would have that attitude toward us? Do you hesitate to ask God for what you need? Perhaps you've heard it said, or perhaps you, like probably most of us, have said at some point in your life, be careful what you pray for. God might answer that prayer more than you expected. And we usually say that somewhat in jest, somewhat in remembrance of how God has grown us in a sort of painful way. But the reality is, Christ calls us to throw caution to the winds, to come to the Lord with boldness, and to trust that our gracious God and our Father will give us good gifts, for He is our gracious and perfect loving Father, of whom the best of fathers on earth are no match. It's true that the answers that God gives can at times be painful. No discipline is pleasant in the moment, the writer to Hebrews reminds us. And growing pains as a Christian are no more comfortable than growing pains for a child. But we are called to pray boldly. We're called to knock at God's door even at midnight and to demand boldly that He should bless His people. And that sounds strange to us, that God should allow creatures, sinful creatures who owe everything to Him, to come to Him with our needs, that we should ask humbly but boldly, Lord, fulfill Your promises to us. For what is it that Christ has just taught us to pray about? Lest we think that this is a license to come to the Lord with sinful demands and say, Lord, grant me the sinful inclinations of my heart. We remember that God has just taught us how to pray. He's given us the Lord's Prayer. We are given a pattern to pray for the glory of God, for the honor and esteem of His name, for our spiritual and our temporal needs. We're called to do this individually. We're called to do this as a community, standing one alongside one another. And so how does Jesus summarize this teaching about what we are to ask God for? He says, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask Him? We are to ask for God to bless us with His Holy Spirit. For the Holy Spirit is the Lord and giver of life, as we confess in the Nicene Creed. And God promises that all who ask will receive Him, Him for whom they have asked. And what does the Holy Spirit do? What is He at work doing when you receive Him? He gives you salvation. He ministers Christ to you. He declares you righteous before God in Christ. He adopts you into the family of God. He grows you in righteousness and holiness and grace. He makes the Word, sacraments, and prayer effectual for your growth as a Christian. Job, in the midst of that great trial of life, recognized his need. He recognized what he lacked, even as Bildad was claiming that he had sinned and that was the cause of his suffering. Job recognized, even if he was in the right, he could not stand before the Lord. He recognized, there is no arbiter between us who might lay his hand on us both. Let him take his rod away from me, and let not dread of him terrify me. Then I would speak without fear of him, for I am not so in myself. Job is concerned because he has no way to plead before the Lord with righteous standing. His greatest righteousness could not admit him to the presence of God without receiving condemnation. But Christ Jesus is the answer to that question. He is the arbiter who can stand between God and man, being God of God and light of light, true God of true God, and yet taking on human flesh so that He should be true man, to bear the sin of man, so that the rod of God's wrath should not fall on our backs, but He has borne it away at the cross of Calvary, And he transforms our dread of God into the loving fear of God so that we can be bold to come to him at any hour with any need and know that we are coming to our gracious Father who loves us in Christ and who hears us. For he who did not spare his own son but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Lay hold of the promises of God in Christ Jesus. Ask, seek, and knock. For God is your loving Father if you are hidden in Christ Jesus. Let us pray. Our gracious God and our Father, we confess that we are often reluctant to come before you with our needs, and yet you command us to boldness. Teach us to be a people bold in prayer, constant in our intercession for one another. Teach us to look to Christ, the author and perfecter of our faith, for it's in his name that we pray. Amen.